3. Near the far end of the 1,000-mile-long firing line that swerved and crooked its way between north and south, westward across northern Virginia, east and middle Tennessee, north Mississippi, central Arkansas, and thence on out to Texas, Theophilus Holmes, with less rank and not one half as many soldiers in a department better than 20 times as large, had troubles which, in multiplicity at any rate, made Lee's seem downright single. From his Trans-Mississippi headquarters in Little Rock, the lately appointed North Carolinian looked apprehensively north and west and south. He was threatened from all those quarters, while from the east he was being jogged by repeated pleas and suggestions from Johnston and the President, not to mention such comparatively minor figures as Pemberton and the Secretary of War, that he send his hard-pressed and outnumbered troops to the aid of his fellow department commander on the opposite bank of the big river that ran between them. A grim-featured man, deaf as a post, at 57 Holmes was the oldest of the Confederate field commanders. Moreover, his rigidity of face, indicative of arteriosclerosis, was matched by a rigidity of mind which augured ill in a situation that called for nothing so much as it called for flexibility. By way of compensation for this drawback, he had under him three major generals whose outstanding characteristic, individually and collectively, was the very flexibility he lacked. John Magruder, Richard Taylor, and Thomas Hindman, respectively in charge of Texas, West Louisiana, and Arkansas, were remarkable men, battle-tested and of proved resourcefulness. In this regard, the last was not the least accomplished of the three. A pre-war Helena lawyer, 34 years old, Hindman had preceded his present chief to his home state, and within 6 months of his arrival in late May, stepping into the vacuum left by Van Dorn's April crossing of the Mississippi, with all the men and weapons that could be salvaged from the defeat at Elkhorn Tavern, had created and equipped, by strict enforcement of the new Conscription Act and the establishment of factories and foundries where none had been before,